1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Why are we to love one another? Because love is of God. We are told that God is love. It is the proof that we have been born of God. In 1 John 3:10, John wrote, In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever does not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loves not his brother. That's pretty strong. John said that if we don't love our brother, we are not of God. So it is the proof that we are of God and have been born of God. It's the proof that we know God. Back in chapter 3, verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brothers, and he that loves not his brother abides in death. And whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. I wonder, do you have a problem with this particular commandment? That we should love one another? You know, there are people who sort of look at the laws of God as rather odious. They like to say, we're not under law, we're under grace. And they seem sometimes to have almost a disdain for the law of God. And yet the Bible tells us that the law of God is perfect, converting the soul. And when God tells us that we're to love one another, I cannot really understand a person who has difficulty with that command. Now, it is sometimes difficult to obey that command. I will acknowledge that. I believe that there are people with whom there is just a natural incompatibility. That naturally we're not attracted to them, to their personality or whatever. I have had people that I have met in the past that I thought never will be able to get along with that person. They have a very negative and gruff kind of a attitude, and it's just... I remember I went to a church that I was going to pastor, and we had the address of the church treasurer, and I was to go by and get the key to the house from him. And so when I went up to get the key, he was one of the gruffest fellows, most negative, and I thought, oh, I'm going to have trouble with this fellow, big time. He was a retired railroad conductor, and I guess he had had so many bad experiences with people that he just had a very, very negative kind of a attitude towards the church, and he didn't seem to have a very pleasant attitude toward me, and I thought, this is going to be a real challenge. But you know, came to love that man. He was just such a... I found that under that gruff, rough exterior, there was a heart of gold. Sort of like Romaine. You remember, he had a very rough exterior. And people, you know, when they would first meet him, or even after they've known him for quite a while, he could be very, very thorny. I called him a cactus pear, full of thorns. Try to get close or touch, and man, you know, you're going to get stuck. But the cactus pear, though it is sort of thorny on the outside, it's mush inside. And he was protecting himself because he was mush. And so he had to put on that gruff exterior just to protect himself. But you come to know him and you came to love him. And there are people that are that way. And I do believe that we are to love. And as Jesus said, if you just love those that love you, so what? The publicans do that. And he said that we're to love those, you know, that really don't love us. Love the unlovely. And I have discovered that there are people that I can't love naturally, but you can love them supernaturally because God will put a love in your heart for them. And if you have problems with this loving our brothers, loving one another, then I would suggest that you confess it to the Lord. I think that the worst thing you can do is to deny it. And so often a person says, well, I love them, I love them. Oh, yes, you do. If you love them, why then do you treat them as you treat them? Why do you think of them so negatively? Why is it that you've closed your door and your heart to them if you really love them? And so it's one of those areas where I think people deceive themselves because it's awfully easy to say, well, I love them. But surely it isn't shown by your attitudes and by your actions toward them. So let me ask you this. Which would you rather live in? A community where everybody loved each other? Or in a community where everybody hated each other? Which would you prefer? I'm sure to a person we'd all say, well, I would prefer living in a community where everybody loves each other. Okay, that's good. It starts with you. And, you know, to really be friendly, Solomon said, you have to show yourself friendly. And to really be loved, you have to be loving. And so the Lord has commanded it, and it's interesting, there are other religions, now if you rather hate, there are other religions that will, you know, they will satisfy you. There are other religions that really have within their sacred holy writings the hatred for those that will not go along with you or not agree with you and so forth. In fact, even put them to death. So there are religions where you will be more comfortable than Christianity if you really hate and have a lot of hatred in your heart. You can probably be very happy as a Muslim. The Bible commands us to love. How are we to love one another? Well, Jesus said in John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. He said that twice. Now, if the Lord says something once, we ought to listen. But if he says it twice, then we really should pick up our ears and pay attention. And so also in John 15:12, Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." How has he loved you? When you were sweet and very kind and, oh, so, you know, precious, that he says, "Oh, aren't you sweet?" Or when you were out of sorts. When, you know, we are prone to love those that are lovely, but sort of prone to sort of recoil from those that are not so lovely. But Jesus didn't recoil from the unlovely. He loved, and we're to love as he loved us. How much did Jesus love us? Well, he said, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friends." And then he laid down his life for us. Paul wrote, "When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Died for the ungodly. Did God start loving us when we repented and asked forgiveness? No. He loved us while we were still in rebellion against him. And that's how we are to love. That's the commandment. Peter wrote, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto genuine love for the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." How are we to love? With a pure heart fervently. John is so bold as to say, "He that does not love does not know God, for God is love." So that's pretty heavy. If I don't love, John said, I really don't know God, for God is love. Paul, talking about love, declared that it is more important to love than to have powerful gifts of the Spirit. That these powerful gifts of the Spirit, if they are not attended by love on our parts, they are meaningless, they are worthless. He said, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and have not love," it's meaningless. The sound is just like, it's just a sound. It doesn't indicate anything. It's only a sound, like you might hear with the clanging of cymbals. You hear a sound, but it's meaningless. And so many people are priding themselves in, you know, the gifts of the Spirit and speaking in tongues and so forth. And yet, if you don't have love, that's proof of nothing. People look at it oftentimes as proof of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, but really it proves nothing if you don't have love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, and it is superior to even the gifts of the Spirit. It's more important than making great sacrifices. Though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and I have not love, it profits me nothing. I don't care how spiritual you may seem to be, I don't care how pious you talk, if you don't have love, you do not even know God. It's so easy to talk about love, but it's important to practically demonstrate love, and that's a different thing. Back in chapter 3, verse 18, John said, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Let's not just say the words, "I love you," but let the love be in our actions, demonstrated in our deeds, because therein is the truth. The problem of our professions of love is that many times we begin to believe ourselves. Because I can say, "Oh, well, I really love them," but we begin to deceive ourselves as to true love. It's bad to be deceived by others, but it's worse when we are deceived by ourselves. The Scripture has warnings against being deceived, and the Scripture has warnings against deceiving ourselves. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 3:18, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise." To the Galatians he wrote, "If any man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he is deceiving himself." James wrote, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." John wrote back in chapter 1, verse 8, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." So it's easy to deceive yourself on many issues. Be careful, because you can say something, and yet your actions don't measure up with your words. God is love. How do I know that God is love? Well, in verse 9, John tells us here, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." God sent his only begotten Son into the world. He didn't send an angel into the world. As the Jehovah Witnesses attest that Jesus was actually Michael the Archangel. No, he didn't send an angel into the world. He sent his only begotten Son into the world. He didn't send a brother of Lucifer into the world, as the Mormons teach. But he sent his only begotten Son into the world. David, in prophesying of the coming Messiah, said, "I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, you are my Son. This day have I begotten thee." Now the writer to the book of Hebrews affirms that he was speaking of Jesus. For in Hebrews 1:5 we read, "For unto which of the angels did he ever say at any time, you are my Son. This day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." Jesus said, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Over and over, Jesus maintained that he was sent by the Father into this world to demonstrate to us God's love. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, as Jesus began to speak to the Pharisees in parables, he said, there was a certain man who planted a vineyard and he put a hedge around it. And he dug the place for the wine press and he built a tower. And then he leased it out to husbandmen. He went into a far country and after a season he sent a servant to the husbandmen that he might receive from the husbandmen the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught the servant and they beat him and they sent him away empty. So he sent unto them another servant, and they cast stones at him and wounded him in the head and sent him away shamefully treated. So he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, and they beat some and they killed some. And having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him at last unto them, saying, surely they will reverence my son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him, and they killed him, and they cast him out of the vineyard. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandmen, and he will give the vineyard unto others. Have you not read in the Scripture? The stone which the builders rejected has become the head cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. And they sought to lay hold on him, but they feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken the parable against them, and they left him and went their way. They were so right. He spoke this parable against them. He was talking about himself, how that the father had given to the nation of Israel the vineyard to take care of it, to bring forth fruit. He sent the prophets. Some of them they beat, some of them they imprisoned, some of them they stoned, others they put to death. And so God then sent his only begotten son. And they said, this is the heir, let's kill him. God sent his son, his only begotten son. John 5:23, Jesus said that all men should honor the son even as they honor the father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father who sent him. Jesus insisted that he was sent by the Father. John 6:29, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. John 6:57, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that partakes of me shall even live by me. John 8:29. Jesus said, and he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. John 8:42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, and neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Here in the next verse, which we're not going to take tonight, Jesus said, herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, that we might, John said, live through him. The life that we have in Christ, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that they might have life and that more abundantly. You know, the glorious thing is that the life that we have in Christ is so rich that you have to describe it in superlatives. It isn't that we just have joy, but it says we have joy that is unspeakable or indescribable and full of glory. It isn't that we just have peace, but it says we have peace that passes human understanding. That life, it isn't just life, it's life more abundantly. And that's what the Lord wants you to enjoy. And that's the life of love. As we love, and as we know the love of God, and as we then experience the love of God, and then share that love of God by loving others, we begin to experience that life more abundantly. Paul wrote to the Colossians that you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God, new life in Him. And then to the Colossians again in the next verse, he said, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then shall we also appear with Him in glory. So, as John tells us here, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. And he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Question: are you living through him tonight? And do you have his love for one another? Therein is the proof that I'm a child of God. Father, we thank you for the love that you have shown to us in sending your only begotten Son. We thank you, Lord, for that life that we now have in him. Any man is in Christ, he's a new creation, that new life in and through Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you that your love has been shed abroad in our hearts, and we ask, Father, that it might be shed abroad by our hearts, that we might indeed love unconditionally as you have loved us unconditionally. Help us, Lord, to experience and to know that kind of love for one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? I'm reminded of a line from Shakespeare where he said, love is not love that alters when it alteration finds. Interesting thing about love. Sometimes we talk about love and we think that we are in love. And then we discover that that person isn't the person that we thought them to be. That we thought that they were very sweet, but then we saw them when they became angry and said some very bitter things. And it's an interesting thing. Sometimes we sort of idealize persons when we first meet them. And we really think, oh, they're the greatest, know how I love them. And we sort of build up in our minds and the ideal person, and they seem to be that ideal person. And what we fall in love with is our ideal. And then when things happen over and over and we realize that they're not all that we thought that they were, we say, oh, I can't stand them. You know, but that, you see, wasn't true love to begin with, because love does not alter when it alteration finds. We find that they're not what I thought they were, and thus I no longer love them. Well, I didn't love them to begin with, because if it's a true love, it doesn't change when I notice that they are not all that I thought they were. God wants us to have a true love for each other, an unchanging love, a love because that's what the nature of God is, and when God dwells in us, that's what we do. So may the Lord bless you, and may He help us, because we do need help in this area, to truly love one another, as that word is defined for us in 1 Corinthians 13, a true love for one another. One little announcement before we dismiss, and that is tomorrow night, Friday and Saturday night, the high school will be presenting their drama, and we highly recommend it to you as a great family kind of entertainment, and come and join the family here for this pleasant evening of seeing the high school drama department present for us this musical called Renegade. The pastors are down here at the front. They're here to minister to you tonight, and if you are in need of prayer for any issue, they're more than happy to bear your burdens with you and to pray for you. And the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Love, 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 love. Christian, this is your call.